Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yudchet Amud Aleph, four lines down. We left off yesterday with discussing how do we know that a kohen that is doing avoda b'mechusar b'gadim is, number one, chayav mita, and number two is that the problem that he creates in terms of being mechalel the avoda, that he causes the avoda to be invalid. So in the end, the Gemara brought a havamino from a gezerah shavah. Gzer Shava would have been Chukah Chukah, that we would have learned from Shtuye Yayin. But then we would have thought that the disqualification of Big Day Kuna or Bechuser Bigadim is only associated with Avodot that have a Chiyub Mita. And that's why we needed the Pasuk that we brought originally, which is Bechargatem Oto Avneit, Aron Uvanav, Bechavashtalem Mikbaot, Vaitalem Kuna, Bechukat Ulam. Because over there, there's no mention of Mita. And that means that even in Avodot, they don't have a few mitah associated with them, there's still a problem of doing the Avodah b'mechutzar b'gadim, and it is mechalel the Avodah. And the truth is, the question we should have asked, and the Shita Mekubetzet himself notes this question, once you know that, why do you need the Pasuk, or the Gzer Shava from Shtuye Yayin? Because once you have this Pasuk, it says that in all situations, we would say that Mechutzir Begadim is Mechalel the Avodah. So then what does the Gzeret Shava do for you? The truth is, it's a very good question, but the Gemara is going to flip this all around, and once it does that, the question goes away. And that's because of the next piece of the Gemara, which is Ashkachan Mechutzir Begadim. So now you found me a source for the fact that our Mishnah says Mechutzir Begadim are Posel Avodah, Shtuye Yayin Minolon. How do we know that Shtuye Yayin are Mechalel Avodah? Where it says, learn that as a gzer shava from mechusar bigadim. So that's strange. Didn't we just before learn mechusar bigadim from shtuye yayin in the gzer shava chuka chuka? Now you're telling me it's just the opposite way around? Circular logic. If you're learning mechusar bigadim from shtuye yayin, how could you be learning shtuye yayin from mechusar bigadim? But even more so, v'hatana, the braita that we brought originally that discussed this gzer shava, over there brings Ulahabdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. He brings the fact that Shtuye Yayin are problematic because it is Yayin Meshechar HaTesht Atal B'necha Yitach B'vah Chema Omoed V'lo Tamutu. That's how we know there's a Chiyuv Mita associated with it. Chukat Ulam L'Dorotechem. And then the subsequent Pasul Ulahabdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol ben HaTameh ben HaTohar. That Habdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol taught us that a Shtuye Yayin that does Avoda is Mechalel. So the source for the fact that Shtuye Yayin and Mechalel Avodah comes from the Pasuk Ulahabdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. Why are you bringing a Gzeir Shava to do that? Where it says, Kanosiv la mikame delikum Gzeir Shava. He brought the Pasuk before he had the Gzeir Shava. Once he has the Gzeir Shava, he doesn't need the Pasuk anymore. That's the first stage of the Gemara, which is, the Tana was using Psukim, and then he chanced upon this Gzeir Shava, which in of itself is interesting because the Gzeir Shava only comes through Misora. And that opens up the discussion that we've had many times with regards to Gzer Shava. How does a Gzer Shava work? What does it mean that you can only have a Gzer Shava b'misora? And what exactly was the information that the Chachamim had? Could be here that he forgot about the Gzer Shava. And then he remembered it after he was being Doresh Psukim. He said, oh, I remember the Gzer Shava. And then he brings it in after he already tried to be Doresh from the Psukim. That is a possibility. The other possibility is that the Gzerot Shavot, again, like we've said before, either they knew there were a certain number of Gzer Shavot, or they were aware of Gzer Shavot, didn't know how to apply it. I mean, that there are many different possibilities, and when you read different Gemaras, it seems like they had different information regarding the Gzer Shavot. But over here, once he had the Gzer Shavot, he didn't need the Pasuk anymore. Obviously, once he hits the Gzer Shavot, since that's the highest form of Limud that you can have, it supersedes any logical arguments or any interpretive explanations of the Psukim, so then he would opt for the Gzer Shavot. But then the Gemara runs the problem, but we were asking, Vatana, Mechuser Begadim, who? The Koyolif Mishtuye Yayin. Wait a minute, didn't you tell us that Mechuser Begadim, we learned from the Gzer Shava from Shtuye Yayin. Now you're telling us Shtuye Yayin was learned from Mechuser Begadim? You just flipped it on its head. Because we had the source from Mechuser Begadim from Shtuye Yayin, now we have the other way around. Gemara says, Hochi Kamar, Minayin, Shalonechluku ben Mechuser Begadim, the Shtuye Yayin. How do we know we make no distinction between Mechutzir Begadim and Shtuye Yayin? V'shalol Mechutz Yadayim Raglayim, which we'll get to in tomorrow's daf. The fact that a kohen who doesn't wash his hands and his feet is also disqualified. The avoda is invalid. So how do we know we make no distinction between any of these? Tamalomar Chuka, Chuka, the Gzer Shavah. So the chukah comes to teach you the gzeres shava. So now, let's work through this. If you have, in terms of the pasuk over here, of Yayim Shechar al Teisht, if you just had that in isolation, you would have thought that that means that only a voda that has a chiyuv mita that is associated with it would be disqualified, would be invalid, because of the pasuk l'avdil ben hakodesh ben hachol. So that would have been your havamina. And again, that was a havamina we had with regards to mechuser begadim. But then we have the pasuk of mechuser begadim that teaches us otherwise. And that's the pasuk we started with, which is from there we learn so that pasuk teaches you that a kohen in uniform is called a kohen. Kohen out of uniform is not called a kohen. In the end, that is the source for big day kuhuna, that if you're not wearing big day kuhuna, it is both disqualifying for the kohen, but also is invalidating the avoda itself. It is causing chivul in the avoda. That is the source, because over there, it tells you that you're only a kohen when you're wearing your uniform. So that will be the source. That answers the question as to why, once we had that pasuk, do we need the pasuk over here? That's the answer. The answer is we are only using that pasuk. Then we come back to the question of Ahavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. Because by Shtri Yayin, you would be limited by Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol because of the Lo Tamutu that's found in the pasuk. Only Avodot that are Chiyuv Mita would have this din of Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. How do I know not to say that? How do I know to make no distinction and say anybody with Shtri Yayin in any situation? Or anyone who's not in uniform? Or anyone who's not Bechutz Yadayim Reglayim? How do I know that they are disqualified, plus their avoda is invalid, is mechulal? That is the Gzeres Shavah. The Gzeres Shavah says, just like Big Day Kuhuna, we make no distinction, and we say, anytime you're out of uniform, it's problematic. So too by Shtri Yayin, so too by Rechutz Yadayim Reglayim. So therefore, now you cross the board, you say, based on the Pasuk by Big Day Kuhuna, and the Gzeres Shavah of Chukah Chukah, remember yesterday, we went through all the Psukim of the word Chok being found. Big Day Kuhuna, which we read the pasuk just now, the one of Shtri Yayin, as well as Rechutz Yadayim Reglayim, which we also read the pasuk yesterday of Chak Olam, that also is something that involves a chukah. That Gzer Shova says that they're all equal, that they are disqualifying, period. But then you have the problem, El Abdil Lamali. Then what do you do with the pasuk? El Abdil Ben HaKodesh Ben HaChol. Now that I know that the din of Chilul comes from the Gzer Shova, then I don't need the Havdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol over here to teach me about Chilul Avodah and associated with Shtri Yayin, or even from Shtri Yayin to Big Day Kuhuna, because we're not going that direction anymore. We're starting with Big Day Kuhuna, and from there we're learning to Shtri Yayin. Once you know that, what do you do with the pasuk of Havdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol? Lichi derav. You'll use it like Rav did. Derav lo mukim amora alei mi yom atova lechavre. The Rav used to not put up an amora. An amora means, again, like a megaphone, or someone who takes the words of the Chachamim and explains them to the people, or possibly translates them from Hebrew into Aramaic, to the language of the people. Mishom shichrut. He was afraid of being drunk, he was afraid of being intoxicated, and therefore felt it was inappropriate to be doresh in that situation. That means, after the morning went by on Yom Tov, with the davening and the learning, he sat down to his meal on Yom Tov. After he sat down for his meal on Yom Tov, after that point in time, he would give no drasha because of the problem that he ate in the meal. And during the meal, one of the mitzvot on Yom Tov is to drink wine. Part of the Simchat Yom Tov is that drinking. And therefore, he did not want afterwards to then give a drasha while he was b'shichrut. Now the truth is, it's not as simple as what's being laid out here in the Gemara. The Gemara in Kretot, we'll go through this in much more detail and discuss what exactly the issue is. And over there, Rav is of the opinion that it's not a problem to be Doresh in Torah once one has had something to drink or is even intoxicated. The main issue is, and Rashi seems to point this out over here as well, is Psak Halacha. One cannot give Psak Halacha b'shichrut when they are drunk, when they have to be Lavdil ben HaKodesh or ben HaChol. When they're doing Torah that is about Havdalah, making distinctions, or being discerning, over there, they can't be Shtri Yayin. They're not allowed to be in an intoxicated state. And that's because the pasuk says over here, first about Shtri Yayin, it says, Avdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol ben HaTamei HaTor, Ulehorot et Bnei Yisrael, et kol chukim asher dibar Hashem alev yad Moshe. So the word the horot comes to teach you about hora'ah, psak halacha. So the din of Psak Halacha is the same din as Kohen going to Avodah of Shtui Yayin. And how do you know what type of Ho'ura'ah? That is Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol, ben HaTameh ben HaTor. So Rav's practice was not to put up an Amora between the meal on the first day of Yom Tov and the second day of Yom Tov, meaning that until he slept, and then the next morning got up, when he was no longer affected by the wine that he drank, at that time, started to be Doresh again. And once again, after the meal on the second day, he would not be Doresh. But we just said that it's not a problem to be Doresh. So Rashi over here says, V'chei b'sha'ah sh'ata ba'la habdil u'lehorot ben davar k'dusha ledavar chol al-tehi b'shichrut. That when you come to make discernments, when you come to give psak halacha, then you shouldn't be drunk. Or in essence, what Rashi is suggesting over here, either the way the Rambam is formulating it is that there's a difference between a regular person who's Doresh versus a Talmud Chochom who's being Doresh. With regards to a regular person, there's no psak halacha in their drasha, therefore the issue of Shichrut is not a problem. Whereas by a Talmud Chochom, where by definition people are going to listen to his words, take his words much more seriously, and maybe even take by example what he is suggesting, therefore, being b'shichrut is a problem even in the drasha. Although from Rashi, it seems like the problem is that someone of his stature, by definition, will get questions. Or people will ask him to give psak halacha. And based on that, that's the problem of shichrut over here. So the drasha itself is not the problem. The problem is that you may end up at psak halacha. And psak halacha is a problem in terms of shichrut. And that's why Rav did not have an amora after he ate the meal on Yom Tov. But that's what we're going to do with Abdil ben HaKodesh uben HaChol. It says, Akati mihochan afka. We still learn it out of that pasuk in Shmot. Mihotam nafka. We learn it out in the beginning of Vayikra. Vinatenu bnei Aaron HaKohen. So here, the question is, why does it put the word Aaron over there? Why doesn't it just say Vinatenu HaKohanim or Vinatenu bnei HaKohanim? What is the word Aaron doing there? Biki hu no. That he must be in his uniform. Li made al Kohen Gadol. Shalavash big day kohen ejot, v'avad avadato psula. That if a kohen gadol wears the garments of a kohen ejot, his avoda is psula, it is mechulau. And that's because of the extra word aharon over there was not necessary. And that is that aharon, big kohen, aharon in uniform is good. Aharon not in uniform is no good. That means the kohen gadol in his eight vestments is considered to be a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol out of his eight vestments, with the exception of Yom Kippur, where he wears the four levanim, and that it might have been the havamina. The havamina is that a kohen gadol in Yom Kippur wears basically the four bigadim of a kohen ejot. So maybe there are times where he does have the bigadim of a kohen ejot. Maybe it would be okay if he did that. The pasuk tells you, no, a kohen gadol must be in his eight vestments, otherwise he's disqualified. It says, imahatam, from that pasuk, havamina ani mili avuda dema akva kaparo. If it was from there. Now, here, the Gemara flips Hotam and Hocha. Strange that it does that, and it's actually not the normal way the Gemara does it, but it says, Ime Hotam, if it was from that Pasuk in Shmot, Havamina Hane Mile Avodah de Ma'akva Kaparo. I would have thought that you need to be in uniform when you're doing Avodot that are Ma'akev de Kapara, when you're putting the Zrikat Adam, you're doing the Shkita, you're doing certain things that are essential to the Kapara, then you need to be in uniform. The avoda over here, which has been spoken about in Vayikra, which is putting the ish on the mizbeach, over there, maybe I would have thought you don't need to be in uniform. So that's what it comes to teach you. The second pasuk teaches you that even with regards to avodot that are not ma'akev kapara, there's still a requirement to be in uniform. And that is Rashi says over here, aval netinat ish shel hedyot, the placement of the fire on the Mizbeach, which is the pasuk we're quoting over here, v'natnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen, eish ala Mizbeach. So that placement of the eish Mizbeach is the mitzvah ba'almahi. It's just a mitzvah. It's not ma'akev kapara. Shereyesh sham eish she'arda min ha-shamayim. Because there's a fire that descends from the heaven and consumes all the korbanot. So Rashi says, if you already have an eish coming from heaven, why does the hedyot have to put an eish there? That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is ein sumchim al ha-neis. So we put the eish there. But that's not necessary for the kapara. So that teaches you that even things that are not necessary for the kapara require a kohen in uniform, otherwise it disqualifies it. Now the Shita Mekubetzet over here in Odal, it says, Perisha Kodesh, Gagon Nitein Eish to Mitzvah Ba'alma. Velo Ratzah Lefereish Mishum Tchol Ikar Nitein Eish in Ola Havayo L'Tzorech HaKtara. Wait a minute. Why didn't he just say straight out that the only reason you need a fire on the Mizbeach is to do Haktarot, to put the Emurim on the Mizbeach. Haktarah lo ma'akvo, and Haktarah is not ma'akev. And as we've repeated numerous times here, putting Emurim on the Mizbeach is not ma'akev the kapara. So why doesn't Rashi just say the whole purpose of having a pyre on the Mizbeach and putting the Korban on the Mizbeach is not ma'akev kapara? And just say it that way. Why is he saying that, oh, there's an Eish Yored Min HaShamayim? He says, because Mishum De'ika Haktarah Komets, there is one Haktarah that is ma'akev kapara, and that is the placement of the Komets of the Mincha on the Mizbeach, on the pyre. That's because they don't have dam. A mincha doesn't have dam to go on the Mizbeach, which is the Ikar Kapara. The Ikar Kapara of a mincha is the komets that ends up on the Mizbeach, and you have to put it into the pyre. So there are times where you do need a fire that will be Ma'akev Kapara with regards to Haktara. And therefore Rashi opted to say a more generic statement, which is, you don't need the fire because the fire comes down from heaven. And so therefore it's just a mitzvah ba'alma, and it's not Ma'akev Kapara. In truth, aside from a mincha, you could have said that the pyre itself is not ma'akev kapara at all, because there's nothing that you put on the pyre that's ma'akev kapara, with the exception of a komets. Because of that exception, the Shita Mekubetzet claims Rashi did not use the example of haktara, just say it's not ma'akev kapara. So now we move on, it says, wait, bakate mihocha nafka? We still learn it out from that pasuk in Shemot? Mihocha nafka? We have another pasuk in Vayikra. Baruchu b'nei Aron ha-kohenim et ha-netachim, et ha-rosh v'et ha-padar. So it says there that Bnei Aaron HaKohanim. Again, why do you need that? HaKohanim B'kihunam. If they're Bnei Aaron, of course they are Kohanim. What do you need the word Kohanim over there to teach you? That only in uniform are they considered to be Kohanim. Umikan, the Kohen Ejot, Shalavash Bigdei Kohen Gadol, Vavar Vareto Psula. Here you learn that a Kohen Ejot that acts like Aaron, then he is a problem. And if he puts on the 8 vestments instead of the 4, that his abudah is mechulelet. Ima hatam hava mina hani milech chisur. I would have thought that the first pasuk that teaches us about Bnei Aaron, that's because you have lowered the number of vestments that you are wearing. Kohen Gadol has 8. Instead, when he acts like a Kohen Hejot, he has 4. So maybe that's when there's a problem. About Yitur, lo, a Kohen Hejot who's wearing his 4 begadim just added on another 4 on top of it, maybe that would be okay. And therefore, kamash malan, problematic. Once you have these 2 psukim, what do you need the pasuk in Shmot for? Because here you have the 1 pasuk tells you, Kohen Gadol downgrades from being a Kohen Gadol to a Kohen Ejot, problematic. Kohen Ejot that upgrades to be a Kohen Gadol, problematic. These psukim are written by items that are not Ma'akev Kapara. So Kol Shekein by things that are Ma'akev Kapara, then it's going to be problematic. You need a uniform for things that are not Ma'akev Kapara, and certainly you need it for things that are Ma'akev Kapara. So Rashi says over here, you need the pasuk in Shmot, because these psukim just tell you Kohen b'kiyuno, but it doesn't tell you the definition of what it means to be a Kohen. That definition is given the pasuk in Shemot, which says v'chargato atam avneit arovan avanav v'chavashalem migbaot v'italahem kuna l'chukat olam. So there, the definition of kuna is associated with the bigadim, and from that pasuk you learn that uniform and Kohen are synonymous. Once you have that information, you can apply it in these 2 psukim. And that's why you need all 3 psukim. The pasuk in Shmot to teach you Kohen equals Begadim. That's the principle. And these 2 to tell you whether you add on or you subtract Begadim, it's problematic. And even in Avodot that are not Me'akev Kapara. Bali Tosafot discuss over here, we won't get into depth with that, but the story in Yoma with regards to a Kohen Gadol that is appointed to replace a Kohen Gadol that was out of service. And then when the original Kohen Gadol comes back into service, the replacement Kohen Gadol is left in a problematic state. There the Gemara speaks about that he can't be a Kohen Gadol because of Eva, and he can't be a Kohen Ejot because Malim Mikodesh, Ve'ein Modri Din. And so Tosafot says, how do we reconcile that here with the issue of the Bigadim? Meaning that the disqualification over there should not be about Malim Mikodesh, Ve'ein Modri Din, or the possibility of Eva. It should be a problem that he's wearing the wrong vestments. Meaning that if he's a Kohen Ejot, how does he wear the vestments of the Kohen Gadol? Or if he's classified as a Kohen Gadol, he had to wear the vestments of a Kohen Ejot. That should be the disqualifying factor. So the Bali Tosafot over here say something very interesting, which is, Be'yesh Lamar, the Kohen Gadol, Nitzmane Lavaruto Pepeh, Umistalik Pepeh. That a Kohen Gadol, even though we've learned, needs either Mishicha, which is anointing by oil, or he requires Merubeh Begadim, he has to wear the Begadim. But Tosafot says that he can be appointed to the position of Kohen Gadol by oral instruction, and he can be dismissed from the Kohen Gadolah by oral instruction. And who has that power? The Melech and Echav HaKohanim, the king and his brethren, the Kohanim. Which is interesting because the examples he's going to bring are from the Bayit Sheni, where the king did appoint the Kohen Gadol. But that was, in a sense, an abuse of the power of the king, partly because at one point the Chashmonaim were kings and Kohanim at the same time, but also for the fact that the king wielded that power over the Kohuna, which we don't want. We want them to be independent separations of powers, and we don't want the Kohen meddling in those affairs. The Baal HaTosafot here suggests that the king did have a say in who was the Kohen Gadol, with the acquiescence of his Echav HaKohanim. In any situation, he says, how the appointment of a Kohen Gadol happens is by Peh, and you can be dismissed by Peh. And that means that the Kohen Gadol that was assigned as the replacement, once he is done with that, if they say you're no longer the Kohen Gadol, that's a dismissal from the position where you're no longer classified as a Kohen Gadol. You're now a Kohen Hedyot again. So Tosfot uses that to answer the problem in Yoma as to why they don't deal with the vestments issue, because they demoted him to a Kohen Hedyot, and now he's a Kohen Hedyot. Ah, Malim Mikodesh Ve'Moridin, that's a separate issue of why you wouldn't let him be a Kohen Hedyot. As far as wearing the Big Day Kuna, he could wear the Big Day Kohen Hedyot, because he is a Kohen Hedyot once he was dismissed. Anyway, it's just an interesting Tosafot, just from the fact that you're able to appoint and dismiss Kohanim, based on the instructions of the oral appointments of the king and his Echav Kohanim, rather than being a procedural issue, like wearing the Merube Begadim, or the anointing by oil. And once you are a Kohen Gadol, you can't be demoted afterwards, but from here it sounds like you can be. So just to note it, it's an interesting Baal HaTosafot. Hayu Merushalim. So now we're speaking about the Big Day Kuhuna, other issues that could come up with the Big Day Kuhuna. Hayu Merushalim, from the word Rashal, which means to be like lazy, but here it means that the clothing is too long, that they're dragging on the floor. He has Big Day Kuhuna that don't fit him properly, and they're dragging on the floor, so that's like as if they're lazy or hanging out. Misulakim, too high. They're too short. They don't fit him because they don't reach the point. It seems to be that the Big Day Kuhuna should have reached, again, down to his hands and down to the floor. So if they're hiked up in some way where they don't reach the floor, then that's misulakim. Mishuchakim, from the word shachak, which means to be worn down, that they're used and worn down. Vavada varato, in any of these bigadim, if he does the avoda, kshera bidiavad. Bidiavad, all of these are considered to be Big Day Kuhuna, and it's not an issue. Lavash shnei mechnasayim, he has two knickers on, two pairs of pants for the Kohanim on. Shnei avnitim, or two belts. Chaser achat, if he's missing one of the Big Day Kuhuna, or yeter achat, or he has one too many on. Oh, shaita lo riti'ah al makat bisaro tachat bigdo. Or he has some sort of, as Rashi calls it over here, a plaster, a bandage on his arm that's a chatzitza between his arm and the beged. We'll do that in tomorrow's daf, that the Big Day Kuhuna have to sit directly on the basar, on the Kohen himself. He can't have anything interfering between the Big Day Kuhuna and his body. Oh, shuriyu mitush tashim, or they were soiled, o mikura'in, or torn, ba'vada varuto. In that case, he does a voda psula, it's mikulelet. That voda is disqualified and valid because he has failed to be wearing Big Day Kuhuna. So you just see this distinction here in the Braita, between certain items that are required, but if you don't have them, then we consider bidiavad to be okay. You're considered to be in uniform, just not properly in uniform, but you're in uniform. There are other things that make it that you're not in uniform. You're not wearing Big Day Kuhuna, and those items will make the avoda mechulelet invalidated. Rashi claims over here, the reason for the invalidation is, why are ripped Big Day Kuhuna problematic? Afilin chadashim, if they're brand new, if they're ripped, they're problematic. The lav beged hu, ha-ra'oi la'avoda. It's not a beged that is ra'oi to do avoda in it. The be'inim le'chavod u'le'tifaret. The Big Day Kuhuna have a requirement of le'chavod u'le'tifaret, to be honorable, to be of glorious nature. And that's a failure when they are ripped. You're missing something in le'chavod u'le'tifaret. And that's the missing aspect over here. That will become a little more problematic when we get down the dot. We'll come back to Shita Mekbet and discuss this, why Rashi's source, or what he means in this source. The Ramban, on the other hand, says that the problem is not the chavod of the tifaret. The problem is, it's not a beged. If you have a ripped beged, you don't have a beged on. If you don't have a beged on, you're not wearing your uniform, and that's the problem. It's not a failure of the chavod of the tifaret, but rather simply a failure in having a beged. And that could be read into Rashi. He says, the la beged hu. Then he says, aroi la voda. But if you say la beged hu, it's just not a beged, then that you can understand what the problem is over here. And now the Braita is really premised on the pasuk that says midobad. And that we'll get to again later in today's daf a little bit and more extensively later on, which is that midobad means that the bigadim have to be midah, have to be the right size, and they have to fit the kohen properly. So that's what's being mentioned over here in terms of the uniform, which is it should fit properly, and that it should be a beged or a beged shel kavod v'tifaret. And then we have a delineation in the list, which are certain things are disqualifying, and other things are proper but not disqualifying. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Mirushalim ksherim. If they are too long, they're kasher. Misulakim, if they're too short, they're a pasul. So now Shmuel's making a statement which is clearly in opposition, contradiction to the Braita. Batanyo, the Gemara asks right away, Misulakim ksherim. Didn't we just say in the Braita that Mirushalim and Misulakim are ksherim? Where it says, Amarami Brachama Lokasha. Kanshisukani Deavnate. Kandalate Nehu Mikara Klau. Depends on why they are too short. The beged can be too short because the beged just doesn't have enough material to be long enough. You take a beged that belonged to someone who's shorter than you and you put it on, it's going to be too high on you. It's too short because it's not physically enough material there. That's one type of misulak. That's the misulak that Shmuel's speaking about that is pasul. There's another type of misulakim, which is when the beged is long enough, but you hike it up. You hike it up by putting the belt there, or you roll it up, and you make it higher than it should be. It's off the ground, but there's sufficient material there for it to be long enough, just you wore it in a way that made it short on you. That's the misulakim of the Braita, and that is kasher. Because there, the beged had the ability to be the right size, it just wasn't worn in a way that was the right size. So that'd be the distinction between the psul of Shmuel and the kasher of the Braita. Rav Amar, echad zeh ve'echad zeh psulim. Doesn't matter whether it's mirushal, it's too long, or it's misulak, it is pasul. Clearly, Rav is in contradiction with the Braita. The Braita said both of those are ksherim. Rav is saying they're both psulim. And now, the Gemara will get back to Rav. It doesn't right away say v'hatanya, because it's going to go through a little process first. We could answer, which the Gemara does not do over here, that Rav tano hu upalig. Sometimes the Gemara invokes that principle that Rav has a status like a Tana in certain instances, and he can argue on a Braita. The Gemara does not do that over here. Ravuna ikla la argiza. Ravuna went to argiza. Romalei barush bezichne. His host asked him the stira. Mi amar Shmuel merushalim ksherim umusulakim psulim. Did Shmuel really say that too long is okay, too short is problematic? Vatanya, don't have a Braita. Misulakim, miksherim. The Braita says that too short is fine. Amazing host over here. Not even with a name in here. He is just an insignificant individual. Yet he knows the member of Shmuel. He knows the Braita. And he's asking stirot here. He's asking pretty good questions, serious questions to Ravuna. Amalei, barmina dahi, deshanya. Don't worry about that. That's not a problem. Because we already have the answer of Rami Barchama. So Rami Barchama's distinction, which we mentioned before, which just depends on why it's too short. If it's too short because it lacks the material, it's pasul. It's too short because he hiked it up, then it's not a problem. So that's a continuation of what we said before. That was interjected here to finish off Shmuel, Elo L'Rav Kasha. Now we get down to the Rav's issue, which is Rav's is certainly a problem over here, because he says both of them are psulim. V'chitem my Merushalim. So what do you want to say too long is? Misulakim ayadei avnet, that they were hiked up using the belt, the avnet migas agis, and the belt makes it as if it doesn't exist. So the solution that we used by Shmuel was that if it's hiked up by a belt, that it's as if it's not there, the belt, and the material is long enough so you're fine. So we're going to say the opposite by Rav. We're going to say that when it's too long, that it is problematic, but if you hike it up with a belt, then we look at it as if you sliced off that material. So when it's too long and you do nothing about it, pasul. If it's too long and then you hike it up with a belt, we look at it as if you've cut off the excess material, and therefore now you are doing in a kasher. That's the kasher of the Braita. But if you do that, elo misulakim kasha, that leaves the misulakim in a difficult problem. Because how are you going to solve the problem of misulakim now? Because misulakim, if you say that it is just too short, period, then that should be problematic. If you say that he hiked it up with the belt, Rav just told you if you hike it up with the belt, that's as if you sliced it off. So that's the same as being just too short and having no material. So how are you going to deal with it? So Amar Rabbi Zera, Rav Chadotoni. Rav had in the Braita only one term that was found there. Mirushalim Shisilkan Ayidei Amet Ksherim. That's how his brayta read. It wasn't two separate things, Mirushal and Misulak. Rather, Mirushal, a beggar that was too long, and made Misulak, made shorter by putting on an Avnet, that is Kasher. That's what the brayta is speaking about. In either instance, besides that, you have a problem. So if it's just too long, problematic. If it is too short, problematic. If it's too short because you hiked it up, also problematic, because we consider it as if you slice it up. The only case where it's kasher is where it was too long and you hiked it up with the belt, and that's as if you sliced it off and made it that it's no longer there. That's the one case where Rav thinks it is kasher. Amar of Irmia Midifti, Mirushalim, Shalos Silkan, Tanayehi. The fact that it's too long and you did not hike them up, you did not fix the problem, that is a machloket Tanaim. Meaning that he's going to show you a different machloket Tanaim, which he thinks relates to this issue. Which is here, we're saying that Mirushalim Shlo Silkan, according to Rav, are psulim. They're problematic. The Braita, in its simplest form, says they're ksherim, and so does Shmuel say that they are ksherim. The Tanya, this is a very important Braita, has many nafkaminot alocha in everyday life. Al arba kanfot kesutcha. It says that you must put tzitzit, gedilim pesedacha, al arba kanfot kesutcha, asher techaseba. That you have to put gedilim, tzitzit, on the four corners of your bigadim. Arba velo shalosh. Sounds from here that you have a four-cornered beggar and it requires tzitzit. A three-cornered beggar does not require a tzitzit. So that is, again, I've told you before, when the Braita says that, that's going to be the conclusion. But the Braita is putting out a proposition, and then it's going to go back and say, is that the right proposition? O enu ela, arba velo chamesh. Or maybe you should say, it's four and not five. How do you know when it says four, what is it coming to exclude? Is it excluding three? Or is it excluding five? Kshuomer, asher techaseba. The pasuk says, "Barav kavod ksutcha asher techaseba." Of course, it ksut is asher techaseba that you wear. So the asher techaseba is extraneous. Given that it's extraneous, it's a riboy. You're going to include something. Hare balat chamesh amur. So that says a five-cornered beged is included. Ha ama ani mikayim arba. So then, what do you do with the word arba? Arba velo shalosh. Four and not three. Umaraita l'rabot balat chamesh lotzi balat shalosh. Then what's the logic? How do you know what to include and what to exclude? You have four, which is a term that is exclusive. It says four and not something. And you have a riboy of asher techaseba. The Gemara says, oh, five's included, three's excluded. How do you know? You could have done just the opposite. You could have said three's included and five's excluded. So mirabe ani balat chamesh, sheyesh bichlal chamesh arba. I'm including a five-cornered beggar. Because subsumed in any five-cornered beged is four corners. That's four plus. Umotziani balat shalosh, ein biklal shalosh, arba. But I exclude a three-cornered beged, which doesn't have four corners. So it fails, period. So that's why the logic dictates that a five-cornered beged should be included, and a three-cornered beged should be excluded. Betani idach. We have another braita. Al arba kanfot ksutcha, arba velo shalosh. Another braita that says you have four-cornered beged, four and not three. Arba velo chamesh. Four and not five. So here you have another braita that indicates that four is an exclusive term. It means that four and nothing else. So here you have a machloket in the braita as to what the requirement to put tzitzit is on. According to the braita of the Bavli, and this is the view of the Bavli in general, when it comes to a four-cornered beged, there's a requirement to put it on four corners. And even when there are five corners, there's a requirement to put it on. Three corners are excluded. The other braita that is brought is actually the view of many of the midrashei halacha that are brought. For instance, the Sifrei Amid Midbar, which is the midrash halacha for Bemidbar. When it comes to arba kanfot, it says vasulem tzitzit al kanfei bigdehem af balei shalosh ubalei chamesh ubalei sheish ubalei sheva ubalei shmona b'mashma. You would have thought any number of corners should require it. Tamalomar. Al arba kanfot. They have four corners. Yatsu, balei shalosh, balei hei, balei vav, balei zainu, balei chet, min mashma. So that's it. Everything's out. That's like the second right over here. The Sifrei Bamidbar says when you say al arba kanfot kutsutcha, that's an exclusionary term, and only four-cornered bigadim require tzitzit. Anything above that and below that do not require tzitzit. And then if you look in the Sifrei in Dvarim, again, the Midrash Halacha for Dvarim, it says over there, Al arba velo al shmona. On the four corners and not on eight corners. Again, it seems to exclude any number that is above four. Alright, so the Midrashei Halacha seem to indicate that arba is an exclusive number. If you have four corners, you're chayav. You don't have four corners, you're not chayav. Similar to the second braita that we brought over here. The Bavli's view is really like the first braita that we brought here, which is that four means four and not three, but anything above four would be chayav in tzitzit. Secondarily, you have to ask them, once you're above four and you have more than four corners, how many of those corners are chayav in tzitzit? Now, is it that four corners require tzitzit even when you have more than four corners? It's just the beged is chayav in tzitzit. But there's only a requirement for four corners to have tzitzit on them. Or there's a view in the Gemara Menachot, which we'll get to, Rabbi Shmuel, who thinks that you need tzitzit on every one of those corners. If you have five corners, you need five tzitzit. So that will turn out to be a machloket, also within the Rishonim. And that causes you problems in terms of the halacha, which then the Mishnah Berurah says, try to avoid putting on bigadim that have these multi-corners, because if you have bigadim with multi-corners on them, you're going to run yourself into a problem of a safek as to what needs tzitzit. First of all, whether they are chayav in tzitzit, and number two, even if they're chayav in tzitzit, how many corners require tzitzit. Rashi over here describes how you get to a case of three corners and five corners. And that is, you take a normal baguette, their normal bigadim were four corners because it was likely a sheet. It's a sadin, it's a sheet, and they used to use it as a tunic, and they made it into a baguette. So your standard baguette was four-cornered, unlike today where majority of our clothing does not have four corners in it. That's why we have to wear tzitzit, because we wouldn't have four corners without the wearing of tzitzit, because our bigadim are not made with four corners on them. But in their day, the standard baguette had four corners on them. If you take one of those corners and round them off, now you have three corners. A corner is a 90-degree angle or something close to that. If you round the corner, then you would have three corners. With the fourth corner rounded, then there's only three corners. That's how you get to three. Or in a case where you want to have five corners, it's a case where instead of rounding out the corner, they cut the triangle. They cut the triangle off. And if you cut the triangle off, then you're left with two 45-degree angles over there. So that makes it into five corners on the baguette. So that's how Rashi describes getting to five-corner baguette. You could also do it by simply cutting the corner straight up the diagonal of the corner, and then that corner would then become two corners as well, depending on how high you cut it up. But so here's, those are the ways that you get to five and three corners in the bigadim from a standard four-cornered baguette. So here the Torah is saying that standard four-cornered baguette, according to one braita, is the only thing you're chayav and tzitzit for. Anything above and below that is patur. In essence, maybe it's not a baguette. Maybe it's not considered a baguette because that's not your standard baguette. On the other hand, when it comes to the first braita that we brought, they think anything below four corners is patur mi tzitzit. Anything above four corners is chayav in tzitzit. The truth is that the logic given by the Gemara that says that a five-cornered baguette is chayav in tzitzit is because five subsumes four, that logic would dictate that you should only have to put tzitzit on the four corners. Because the whole reason that a baguette of five corners is chayav is because it subsumes four. So that would indicate. So the truth is that some of the Achronim point out over here that the difference between the Havamina of the Gemara, that five would be chayav because it's inherently chayav, versus the conclusion of the Gemara that five is chayav because it subsumes four, would actually be the machloket as to whether you need five tzitzit and four tzitzit. You need five tzitzit if you believe a five-corner baguette is just a baguette. And then all the corners would require it to be a shared chasibah, you've got to put on tzitzit. On the other hand, if you think the only reason five is chayav is because it subsumes four, then you would believe that the four corners require tzitzit and not the fifth corner. And it's not mukhrach, but it is a possibility of setting up the machlokot in Menachot based on this difference that you find here between the Havamina of the Gemara and the conclusion of the Gemara being in the Braita that suggests that the reason five is chayav is because it subsumes four. But now you have a stira in the Braita. My lav b'hakam iflagei. What are they arguing about? Mar sabar, yet their command to ite dami. One of them thinks that when you have excess, whatever it is, it's as if it's still there. Mar sabar, command the late dami. When you have too many, it's as if it's not there. So the one who says that five corners are patur is because you have five corners. You have five and not four, and therefore you're in a problem situation. The one who says that you are chayav is because five is more than four. So we just look at the fifth corner as if it doesn't exist, if it's not there. If you view it as it not being there, then you're fine. Same thing with the big day guna. If they're too long, if you view it as too long being too long, then that's it, because it's there and you have a problem, then it's pasul. If you view it too long as being just a good big day guna with a little extra on it, and the extra is as if it's not there, then you would say that they are kshevim. So that would be the suggestion. You have a machloket tanaim over here that is similar to what would be by our case. Lo, that's not the way to read the machloket in tzitzit. The kuliyama kamanta ite dami. Everybody agrees when you have excess, it's as if it's there. The shani ocha, the rabbi machmana shir techaseba. Just that the Torah has a riboy in it. That riboy tells you not only four corners, but a shir techaseba. Even things beyond four corners are also chayav in tzitzit. The idach. What is the bright that it says that five corners are not chayav in tzitzit? What are they going to say? Hayashir techaseba mayobidle. What does he do with a shir techaseba? Obviously he doesn't use it for a riboy for five corners. He needs it for the Braita. Uritem oto. It says in the Pasuk in Shlach, Uritem oto, that you must see the tzitzit. Prat leksut laila. That tells you that nighttime clothing is disqualified or does not require tzitzit on it. Oena ela prat leksut suma. Or maybe it's coming to tell you that a blind person that wears a beged does not require tzitzit because he can't be uritem oto. Shomer asher techaseba. You have the riboy asher techaseba, or iksut suma amur. That tells you that the iksut of a suma does require tzitzit. Ha, ma'ani mikayim uritem oto. Then what are you going to do with the uritem oto? Must be prat l'ksut laila. To come to tell you that nighttime clothing is excluded. Umare ita l'rabot ksut suma olotzi ksut laila. Again, here you have the same question we had before. You have a miut and you have a riboy. The riboy is asher techaseba. You have a miut, which is a uritem oto. How do you know what to exclude and what to include? You could have just done the opposite. You could have said, oh, I'm including nighttime clothing, I'm excluding a suma. That would have been equally plausible. Why did you pick to include the beged suma and exclude the light and the ksut laila? Merabeani ksut suma, sheishna b'riyah, etzel achemim. I include the ksut suma because even though he cannot see the tzitzit, other people can see the tzitzit. So there is a manifestation of iritem oto. I'm excluding nighttime clothing where it's not visible to anyone. In the dark, at night, tzitzit are not visible not to the person wearing them, nor to the individuals, other individuals who are looking at them. That is actually the way that we determine when Zman Kriyat Shema is. The Mishnah in the beginning of Brachot says, when you're able to discern mit Tchelet L'Lavan, when you see your friend coming towards you and you're able to discern between Tchelet and L'Lavan, that's a uritem oto. Now you can see the tzitzit. If the darkness is already lifted to the point where you can discern the colors of the tzitzit, that already is an indication that you reached the time of Kriyat Shema, or you reached the time of uritem oto. But you see here that ri'iyah, etzel achirim, is an important part of the mitzvah of tzitzit. So here, this individual believes that the techaseh ba comes to include a tzut suma, tell you that a blind person is chayav in tzitzit, but ksut laila is excluded. But he doesn't have the chaseba to include a five-cornered beged, and that's why he doesn't include five corners. V'idach nafkalei ma'asher. And the other braita, how does he include a ksut suma? He learns it out of asher. Because it says asher techaseba. So techaseba is extraneous, and so is the word asher. So it's two ribuim. One ribui for a five-cornered beged, and one ribui for a ksut suma. V'idach asher lo dorish. The other one doesn't darsh an asher. Therefore, he believes ksut suma is chayav, but a five-cornered beged is not chayav in tzitzit. There's a major machloket in the Rishonim as to what it means ksut laila. When we say over here that a ksut laila is excluded from the chiyuv of tzitzit, what does that mean, ksut laila? So Rashi, both here in Zvachim and in Shabbat, he says, prad ksut laila, talit hasuya lechasot balaila. Pajamas, clothing that you wear at night, is patur min tzitzit. And Rashi and Shabbat says the same thing. Sut hamyuchad lelelot. It's a clothing or a piece of clothing that is uniquely worn at nights. And Rashi and Menachot seems to say otherwise. He seems to indicate that it's a problem of day and night. And so within Rashi, it's not as clear. But the Balei Tosafot, Shabbat and Menachot, bring the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, that Laila is not the time for tzitzit. But it doesn't mean that laila, but it means ksut laila. Now, if ksut laila is patur min tzitzit, and ksut yom is chayav in tzitzit, how do you deal with the fact that the Gemara says that tzitzit are a mitzvah shazman grama? It is a time-bound mitzvah. The reason tzitzit are a time-bound mitzvah is because you're patur at night, and you are chayav during the day. So if you say, literally, you're chayav during the day and patur at night, I understand why you call it a mitzvah seh shezman grama. Because daytime you're chayav, nighttime you are patur. And that's the way that the Rambam views this halacha. He says that the halacha is shechufara tzitzit b'yom. During day, you're chayav and tzitzit. The lo b'layla. And not at night. Shenemar yutem oto b'shat b'iyah. The time that you can see tzitzit, that's when you're chayav, during the day. At night, you're patur mitzitzit. So the Rambam does not differentiate between ksut yom and ksut layla, but rather between day and night. During the day, you're chayav. At night, you're patur. On the other hand, Rashi, in at least two of the places, and the Rabbeinu Tam believe that ksut yom, daytime clothing, is chayav and tzitzit, even at night. And ksut layla, nighttime clothing in during the day, is patur mitzitzit. It's about what type of clothing, not the time of day. The problem is, for the Rambam, it's easy to understand how it's a mitzvah aseh shezman grama. But for the Rabbeinu Tam, how is this a mitzvah aseh shezman grama? Daytime clothing, need to have tzitzit on all around the clock. So that sounds like a mitzvah aseh shelo hazman grama, and women should be chayavot in tzitzit. He says, "Amagav the ksut yom chayav afilu b'layla, ksut layla patur afilu b'yom." That pajamas are patur all day, and daytime clothing is chayav at night. Mikomakom mikrei shapir zman grama. Shayom goreim lechayev hamabush. Because it's day that causes the clothing to be chayav. Meaning, daytime clothing is that which is chayav. And since the goreim is something that is associated with time, that's enough to make it into a mitzvah seish zman grama. Miu, be yushami de kiddushin. There is a machloket in the girsa in the Yerushalmi kiddushin. And in the Tosef, as to what the Girsa is, when it gives a list of mitzvah to say, shelo azman grama. And it gives examples over there. Ezehem mitzvah to say shelo azman grama, kigon, aveda, shiluach hakein, make, vitzitzit, and tzitzit, Rabbi Shimon Omer, poter de nashim, and tzitzit. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. So the question is, when you say that tzitzit are a mitzvah to say shelo azman grama, maybe that's because they are ksut yom ksut laila, and ain't no kanami, that they are considered to be a mitzvah asei shalo as my grandma. Rabbi Shimon over there disagrees, and Rabbi Shimon says that they are considered to be a mitzvah asei shalo as my grandma, ksut laila patur. And he uses the term ksut laila, not just the laila. So the Rabbeinu Tam shows you that there's an opinion that clearly says that it's a mitzvah asei shalo as my grandma, even though it's only ksut laila. And ksut yom, not a difference between yom and laila. The Rosh in the Yoflochot Ketanot in Menachol actually brings the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, but then brings a stira in the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam. It says, "Aye omer Rabbeinu Tam, da ha'da kamar prat ksut laila, ayna ksut miyuchad laila. Av ksut miyuchad yom, ein bo mishom kil ayim, afilu im lov sho balaila." So then he's saying basically that it deals with ksut yom and ksut laila, and it's not about yom balaila. He brings the Rabbeinu Tam that we know of, that ksut yom is chayab even at night. And so therefore, a ksut yom at night, you can still wear tzitzit that are kilayim, because you're doing the mitzvah of tzitzit. And therefore, there's no problem of being patur mi kilayim at night, because you're chayav in tzitzit. But then he brings a second Rabbeinu Tam, which seems to undermine it. Says, "Va'od," there's another Rabbeinu Tam that says, "The talit shel yom, nami, im nifsak balayla." If you have daytime clothing, and the tzitzit rip off at night, shori, it's mutar, v'lo mechayev ad bayom. You don't have to put the tzitzit back in until the daytime. So here you have a daytime beged whose tzitzit fell off at night. You don't replace the tzitzit until the morning. From that it sounds like the din is a daytime din and a nighttime din, not a din in ksut yom. If ksut yom is chayav even at night, then you should have to replace the tzitzit at night. How can you be wearing a beged at night and then the tzitzit fall out and all of a sudden now you don't have to put in tzitzit till the morning? That sounds like it's a din in yom and laila, not a din in ksut yom and goyim laila. But nearly, Dehane Treshnuye Satre Hadodi. Says these two Rabbeinu Tams clearly are contradictory. Because according to the first Rabbeinu Tam, if you put on tzitzit at night and you're wearing daytime clothing, you'd make a bracha on it. According to the second, if you put on a ksut yom at night, you wouldn't make a bracha on it. But nearly, Kishinuye Kama. Says, I hold like the first Rabbeinu Tam, and that it's about ksut yom and ksut laila, not about yom velaila. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes the halacha. It quotes the halacha based on the machloki between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam who says that it's a din in yom and laila, and the Rosh who says it's a din in ksut yom and ksut laila, but the Rosh is really relying on this Rabbeinu Tam, that it has to do with ksut yom and ksut laila. this machloket has a major nafkamina l'alocha, which is, for instance, when you put on a talit at night. Sometimes comes up like on Yom HaKippurim, or on Slichot, where you're putting on a talit very early in the morning before the Zman of Tzitzit, or at Yom Kippur at night, when you're putting on it at nighttime, do you make a brocha on the talit? So the Shita Mikubetzet in Menachot brings down different opinions. You make a brocha on it. That when he got up early for Slichot, he would make a brocha on the talit. In the morning, when he put on before Slichot, or at night, he borrows somebody's talit to take both, so that he wouldn't have to make a bracha on it. You see here, this machloket has impact in terms of making a bracha at night on tzitzit. According to Rabbeinu Tam, of course you make a bracha at night on tzitzit. According to the Rambam, you're not going to make a bracha on tzitzit at night because it's not zman tzitzit. So here you see a machloket within the Rishonim as to whether you make a bracha on a talit at night. That is a derivative of this same machloket as to whether it's a dinik sut yom or it's a dinin yom v'layla. So therefore the halacha, what the Ramah says over here, is safek brachot l'hakel. Whenever you have a safek about a bracha, then you're mekil. And therefore, alkein, ein levarech alav. You only make a bracha on tzitzit, el shalobesh beyom, behu miyuchad gamkein neyom. You only make a bracha on tzitzit or on a talit when you're wearing it during the day, and you're wearing a beged that is a daytime beged. You need both of those to align, because then according to both the Rambam and the Rosh, you would require a bracha. So that overlap is where we make a bracha on tzitzit. But if you have either one of the other items, which is you're wearing pajamas during the day, or you're wearing a beged yom at night, we wouldn't allow you to make a bracha on it. But despite that fact, the Mishnah points out, but in both those instances, you're chayav in tzitzit. You wear your pajamas during the day, you need to put tzitzit on them. You wear your daytime clothing at night, you need to put tzitzit in them, because we're choshesh for both shitot, which means that you're going to be choshesh that you put tzitzit in. You don't want to violate an assay in a Torah, wearing the four-corner beged pajamas during the day, when the Rambam thinks you're chayav. You also don't want to violate at night, wearing a four-corner beged of daytime clothing, where you don't have tzitzit in and violating the Rabbeinu Tam or the Rosh. So therefore, you have to put tzitzit, even though you don't make a bracha. So in three out of the four scenarios, you have to put in tzitzit, and in one of the four scenarios, you have to make a bracha. The one of the four scenarios you make a bracha is if it's during the day, and it's daytime clothing. The three scenarios where you have to have tzitzit in them are, if it's daytime clothing during the day, daytime clothing during the night, and nighttime clothing during the day. All three of those scenarios, you have to put tzitzit in them. The only thing that is patur mit tzitzit is nighttime clothing at night. It's clearly patur mit tzitzit. But that comes out from this machloket. Now, to your question, which we'll get to in Menachot, the major machloket in the Gemara as to whether tzitzit are what's called chuvah gavra, they are an obligation of the individual. That means that only when a person puts on clothing or puts on a four-cornered beged is he chayav in tzitzit, or whether it's a chuvat mano. That means four-cornered begadim require tzitzit, even if they are found in your drawer. Even if they're in your closet, they still require tzitzit. So is it a chuvat mano or a chuvat gavra? In general, we paskin that it is a chuvat gavra, although you see in many places that Rashi seems to indicate that the din is chuvat mano, and even this Rabbeinu Tam you saw in the Rosh seems to indicate that it is somewhat of a chuvat mano. From that derives a huge chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He wrote in Shirim Lezech Aviv Mori, he has a piece on tzitzit there, where he believes that both of them are the halacha. That is both a chuvat mano and a chuvat gavra. And that the determination of whether something is a beged or not is what we call chuvat gavra. A person determines whether the beged is a beged or it's not a beged. If he wears it during the day, he gives it a shame of beged yom. He wears it at night, he gives it a shame of beged laila. If he doesn't wear it at all, it's not a beged. Meaning that if it's a sheet, just because a sheet can't be worn doesn't make it into a beged. So the hagdara of the item is determined by the gavra. But once the gavra makes it into a beged, that becomes a mono or a chefza shel tzitzit. And that chefza shel tzitzit then gives you certain requirements, including the fact that you can wear kil ayim at night, even though that's not the zman of tzitzit. Nevertheless, you can wear tzitzit at night, even though that's kil ayim, because of the fact that it is now a mono shel tzitzit. It's a beged of tzitzit. But then again, if the tzitzit fall out of the beged at night, you don't have to replace the tzitzit, because nighttime is not a zman that is chayav in a tzitzit. And therefore, he divides between the chovet gavra, which is the gavra determines that it's ksut laila, ksut yom, and ksut yom is chayav, ksut laila is patur. But despite the fact that ksut yom is chayav during the day, the chovet gavra at night it is actually patur. Kefshar zel tzitzit still has a shame of tzitzit on it. And since it has a shame of tzitzit on it, because the mono now is a mono of tzitzit, then you have a beged or a chefser shel tzitzit, and that allows you to keep it on, even though there's kilayim in it. But if you lose the tzitzit, then you won't have to replace them, because a nighttime is not the zman of chiyub tzitzit. And that way, if you parse between the chovet gavra and the chovet mono, and yom v'layla and ksud yom ksud layla, you can come up with the chiddush that explains this unusual view of the Rabbeinu Tam. It's a big chiddush. He uses it to explain many different stirot in halacha, including kilayim and tzitzit and other items. But that chiddush combines the two aspects, both of chovet mono and the chovet gavra. So the Rambam brings down the halacha with regards to five-cornered beged, that four corners excludes three, but a five-cornered beged is chayav and tzitzit. It quotes our Gemara, Bali Arab Knop in Ashiesh Bikal Khamesh Arba. Fikak Shoset Tzitzit the Balat Khamesh Oshesh. You're gonna put on tzitzit in a 5-6 cornered beged, you only put them on the four corners which are furthest away from each other. So that's how you determine which are the four corners. You have 5 or 6 corners, you put them on the four furthest corners. And Shulchan Aruch he says, Yesh La Yotemi Dalid, Chayevet, Bosela Arba Tzitziot, Barbakinafem Ruchokim Zumizu Yoter. That is like the psak of the Rambam. But the Mishnah Berurah warns you, v'yesh putrim, there are some people who say that when you have a balat chamesh, you are patur, and that's actually quoted by the Agot Mamoniot. When the Rambam quotes this in Hilchot Tzitzit, Per Gimel, Halacha Gimel, he brings our Gemara that has the alternative Braita, as well as a Braita im Menachot, that also excludes it, as well as all the Midrashei Halacha that seem to say that a balat chamesh is not chayav. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah warns, v'yesh putrim. Some people say that a five-cornered beged is patur. L'chein ein lasod bat hei l'chatfila. One should not make a five-cornered beged l'chatfila, because you run yourself into a safek of halacha. Kodam prima godin, de la data potrim oto talit konado chalanu. Sheish lem beit savar, are talitot that have a beit savar, have a neckline. Mikom akom rov satum. Nevertheless, the majority of it is closed up. Miu im ira rov patuach. If your neckline, where you have the slit to allow your neck into it, opens up and leaves the robe patuach, yaseh bekalaner shosim archaitim k'tzat igul. You should make sure to round out the corners over there, otherwise you now open up the possibility of having a beged that has more than four corners, which is possibly patur. So you have to be careful that tzitzit have the slit that have two corners at the top. It says be careful that that slit doesn't open up robe of the way down the beged, because then you actually have a beged with 6 corners instead of 4. And even though the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch pass on your chayav and tzitzit, nevertheless the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are Rishonim believe that you are patur from tzitzit in that case, and there's ample support in the Tanaim for that. And based on that, you should avoid those types of sfeikot and make sure either to round out the corners so you still have a 4-cornered beged and not a 5 or 6-cornered beged. All right, now we continue in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Bad. We said before, the source for all this is mido bad, that it has to be measured properly. Bad, shiyu shel butz. It should be made out of linen. Bad, shiyu chadashim. Bad also teaches you that they need to be new. Bad, shiyu shizurim. That it has to be twine. Bad, shiyu chutan kaful shisha. That it is 6 ply. Bad, shelo yubash shel chol imahem. That you don't wear chol with them. Now the word bad is similar to the word livad, which means alone. From this bright, it seems like the word bad in each of these instances teaches you that din. The Gemara says, Amar Abai the Rav Yosef, Bishlama shiyu shel butz. I understand they have to be made out of linen, hak mashmalon butz in midei achrin alone. That's the word bad, means exclusively. So they have to be linen and nothing else. Ela bad shiyu chadashim. When you say bad means that they have to be new clothing, chadashim in shachakim alone. You're telling me that they have to be new and they can't be worn down. Vatanya, didn't we have the brayta that we had at the bottom of the previous amud? Meshuchakim ksherim, worn down begadim are kasher. B'diavad. Amalei u'letimeich bad shei kutan kafu shisha. So then, according to your reasoning, you think that bad is the reason that they have to be chadash. How do you explain bad, that chutan kaful shisha? Bad means alone, and now you're telling me they have to be six ply? Bad means chad chad chudei mashma. Means each one individually. It doesn't mean together. Ella hachi kamar. Bigadim shenemar ben bad. Tzrichim sheyu shabutz. Any beged that has the term bad associated with it must be made out of linen. Chadashim. It also must be chadash. Shizurim. It has to be twisted. Shehei chutan kafu shisha. Should be six ply. Yesh man the mitzvah. V'yesh man the akev. Some of those are just the chatchila. Some of them are the akev. So what they're saying in the end is the word bad is not the limud. It's just saying to you that bad means linen. But it says any beged that has the word bad associated with it, then it also has these additional items that are included that are required. Some of them are absolute requirements. Some of them are the chatchila requirements. But it's not saying that you learn it out of the word bad. But rather you learn that a beged that requires bad also has these other requirements. So yesh man the mitzvah, Rashi says, the only one that's chatchila not ma'akev is chadashim. That the new one, linoy, that's a chatchila, you should have newer bigadim and not worn down big, right? The lami mashmeutat. It doesn't come from the word bad. The yesh man ma'akev, and there are other things that are ma'akev. Butz, bishizurim, bichutan kaful shlisha. The other requirements that it be made out of linen, that they be twisted, and that they be chutan kaful shlisha, they be six ply, that all is me'akev. Boots, that it requires to be linen, the Gemara is going to say in 1 second. Shazur, the word bad in the Torah, is also associated with the word sheish, or sheish mashzar. And from the word sheish mashzar, you get the other two halachot, which are sheish is kafol shisha, and mashar is that they should be shizurim, twisted. Given that, all the other things are me'akev, with the exception of noy. Now over here, Rashi seems to indicate that lenoy is not me'akev. That's something that is nice, and it's lechatchila, but it's not me'akev. Before, Rashi quoted you, when you have a beggar that's torn or ripped or dirty, that's a problem with chavod and tifaret, and it's me'akev. So here, the Shita Mekubetz, it explains the difference between them. In Ot Aleph, he says, perish akontra sala beggar aroi ho, to be in the chavod and tifaret. Ula kaman, gabe yeshman mitzvah, perish akontra skon chadashim, the mishum noyu. You have to say that he learns out that they have to be pretty or nice, not from a chavod of tifaret. Because then it should have been ma'akev. Kamo mikurein, like ripigadim. Tohocha. Kevan demimashmaut dekra nafkele elavade ritzolamar mishum hidur mitzvah kishar mitzvah dalma. He says it's not a din in chavod and tifaret the noy here, but simply a din in hidur mitzvah, and that's why it's the chatchila. Hidur mitzvah says you bring the nicest clothing, you do the things the best way possible. So that's something that's enhancing, but it's not me'akev. As opposed to the chavod of tifaret, which is me'akev. And that's why ripped begadim or dirty begadim are problematic. That tifaret only excludes things that are not worthy at all of being a beged, like a ripped or dirty beged. But new begadim is really a din in hidur mitzvah, not a din in the chavod ule tifaret. Now the Gemara asks, Mimai dahai bad kitnahu. How do you know that bad means linen? Amar Rav Yosef and Rabbi Chanina, davar olem in a karka, bad bivad. It's something that grows out of the ground in a single stalk, or a single seed generates a single stalk. As opposed to wheat or other items, where a single seed can produce multiple stalks, or stalks can break away from each other. Over here by flax, it grows with a single stalk. And that's why it's bad bivad iya. Ema imra. Why don't you say that it is wool? Wool also, each hair comes out of the animal. So why don't you say that is bad bivad? It says imra miftza. When it comes to wool, the hair splits. So even though it comes out from a single follicle, many times the hair is split or they break out into multiple pieces. Kitna nami miftza. Doesn't linen also split, or don't you make it into different strings? That only happens when you smash it. As Rashi describes over here, when you take the pod from the flax and you smash it and open it up, then you get the strings of linen that are inside of it. So it grows as a single pod, as a bad, and then afterwards when you smash it, that's what breaks it into different pieces. Others suggest, mitzah yedei lukuta means that normally flax does not split. But sometimes when it's diseased or there's something that happened to it, it splits. But that's not the normal way it grows. For that reason, we'd say that it's referring to linen and not to wool. Over here, the Balei Tosfot bring down that a Rabbeinu Ephraim, I'm adaktei the canvas. Our canvas is also growing in a single stock manner, and therefore should be a problem with Kilayim. And he says he wouldn't put canvas together with wool. Because over here, the Gemara defines as what is considered to be a problem of linen or kitna. It's something that grows in a single pod or a single stalk. So anything that grows in that way, he says, will then be a problem of kilayim, because that would fall under this definition of what bad is. Rabbeinu Ephraim suggested that based on that, he wouldn't put our canvas together with tzemer. Although the Rabbeinu Chaim Goyin rejected that view and said that's just not true. And Rabbeinu Tam says something similar. That is because the word begin in the Torah is defined as tzemer and pishtim. The Torah only recognizes two materials with regards to begadim, and that's wool and linen. And therefore, all the Gemara here is trying to determine is bad wool or is it linen? It's not giving you a generic definition of what's considered to be under the category of linen in the Torah. It's telling you what is the din with regards to bad. Is bad tzemer or is bad pishtim? But that's it. It's limited to that. And therefore, canvas is not the same thing as linen. And canvas is not restricted to be together with tzemer. And that's the way we paskin. That it's only linen that's problematic with wool, not canvas that is problematic to be together with wool. So that's how we know that bad means pishtim. Ravina Mar Meocha. Ravina says we learn how pishtim from this. Pare pishtim yu al rosham. It was left over that we just read for Parshat Emor, that they wear these linen hats on their heads. We have to say pishtim yu al motneihem. And then they will have the knickers that are made out of pishtim. Lo yachru biyaza. Then they cannot belt themselves biyaza, which we'll explain in 1 second. Amalei Rav Asher Ravina. V'ha adati yechezkel minolon. Well, the source of the fact that the Pasuk says there, pishtim, 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 instead of bad, that is used in the Torah, that tells you bad and pishtim are synonymous. The only problem is that only once you have Yechezkel. So until the time of Yechezkel, how did they know that Big Dekuna were pishtim? According to your reasoning, Adam Rav Chista, Damar Zemi Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu, Midibre Yechezkel Ben Buzi Lamadnu, this item we didn't learn out of the Torah, but rather from Yechezkel, Kol ben nechar erel lev ve'erel basar lo yavo migdashi. From there we learn out that not only someone who does not have a brit milah because his brother has passed away from a milah, but even erel lev, someone should nakru masav l'shamayim, someone who has left the faith, who is not someone who is a believer, he is also precluded from doing avoda. Learn that of Yechezkel from erel lev. That there's an Arel that is not only just Arel, but Basar. There's an Arel who's Arel because he is not having the right thoughts. He doesn't have the right Kabanot. So, Ad Shabbat Yechezkel Minolan. If that's the source for the fact that Mishnit Nakru Masav the Shamayim, that he's disqualified from being a Kohen, how did you know that before Yechezkel came along? Ella, Gemara Gemirala. It was a Allah for the Moshe Misinai. It was a Misora. Ba'ad Yechezkel Ba'as Mechayakra. And then Yechezkel documented what was this halacha l'moshe misinai. Hachanami, so too in our case. Gemara Gemirala, it was a halacha l'moshe misinai. And Yechezkel came along and documented it. So that has implications in terms of what mitzvah that we find in the Navi, which is there's a general principle that a Navi is not allowed to be mechadesh, any mitzvot. So what you have to say now is that any mitzvah that you found in the Navi, since we can't be mechadesh anything, must be something that was halacha l'moshe misinai and then was documented by the Navi, because he's not introducing something that we didn't know before. He's not bringing in any new mitzvah. And that actually upgrades the status of the Navi to halacha l'moshe misinai when he brings you something about a mitzvah or information about a mitzvah. So now Gemara says, "My lo yachagru biyaza." What does it mean that they may not put on their belts biyaza? Rabbi lo yachagru b'makom shemezi'in. Yaza means they shouldn't put it in a sweaty place. So that means they shouldn't bind themselves. They shouldn't gird themselves in a place that is sweaty. Kedetanya. Kesheim chogrim. When they belt themselves. Ein chogrim lo lamatim imodnehem. They shouldn't do it below the loins. Below the malamatzileem. And not above their elbows. Ela keneged atzilei yedeem. But rather, just opposite the elbows. Because the area above the elbows, as Rashi points out, is an area where your arm is usually pressed up against your body, and therefore it's an area of sweat. Below the loins is an area, Rashi calls it over here, that the fat of the stomach rolls over onto the legs in that area, and therefore it's an area that also is sweaty. So it should be between those two areas, because those are areas that are not sweaty. And so biyaza means in a place that is not sweaty, and that is connected on marpeik, as Rashi says, opposite the elbow, around the area where the elbow hits the body, just below that would be the area where you'd want to belt yourself, around the waist area. Amar Ravashi, Amar Leihuna Banatan, Zimna Chada Ava Kamina Kameid Izgadar Malka. So Ravashi says, Huna Barnatan told me a story that one time he appeared before the Persian king Izgadar. Baba Madle Le Hemnai, and my belt was very high up. Vitetia Nehale, and he pulled it down. He saw me with my belt around me, and he lowered the belt to a proper place. Bamarli, and he said to me, Mamlechet Kohanim, Begoy Kadosh Ketiv Bukhu. You're supposed to be kingly in nature. You're supposed to be a nation of priests. You have to dress appropriately. This is very much the hallmark of Chassidut, that every person has to present themselves like royalty, because we're Banim Lamakom, we're Mamlechet Kohanim. And here's this idea, or this concept here, where the king says to him, aren't you from the great Jewish nation, the nation of priests? You have to dress in a way that is presentable, in a way that shows that royalty. So he said, you're wearing the belt too high, and he pulled it down on him. Kiyatai kameda meimar, he says, when I came before a meimar, amalei, kayem b'cha. That is what is meant by the pasuk, vayu melachim omnayich. The kings will be your craftsmen. Meaning that the king will be his dressing agent, that here is a king of Persia that's telling Huna Bar Natan how to dress and fixing his belt on him. So that's what's meant in that pasuk in Yeshayahu. Even the kings of the other nations will be in your service. All right, we're going to stop here by the two dots in the top of Yutet Amud Aleph.